Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, it's time for Pensacola Business Radio. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Good afternoon. Keith over here, broadcasting live from DeVillers Square. I got two fantastic guests. Tom's over here trying to take selfies, so we'll see how well it goes.
But I got a selfie stick.
You do need a selfie stick. I've got Tom Koenig with King Size Solutions, and I've got Andrew Martin from Atlas Financial Strategies. So good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Did you get it working?
I did.
Yeah? So now you got to post out, let everybody know we're here. So, all right, Tom, man, let's tell everybody what King Size Solutions is and what brought you here to the studio today.
Well, I met Keith at a networking event.
Go figure.
Exactly. The Pensacola Chamber has some really great networking events. So if you're not a chamber member,
You should be.
I would put in a plug for the chamber because they have some really great ways to meet people you would not normally have a chance to meet.
I think that's what Tom is. I think Tom could just be a professional spokesperson for all the other events that he attends.
I second that.
When I moved here, I knew not a soul.
Yeah.
I moved here back in 08.
Yeah.
And I didn't know anybody. So I moved here and with the intentions of setting up a business. And since I didn't know anybody, I had to find a way that I could get involved in the community somehow. So I started just joining organizations that were full of professionals.
And here you are.
And here I am.
Yeah.
The chamber's a great way to do that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
That's actually how I met Andrew. That's right. That's funny because it works. Well,
that's how we met each other.
I met Andrew at the chamber. That's right.
Yeah, I mean, it works. Hey, you know, if it's not broke, don't fix it. So
we're just a whole bunch of friends and we steer business to each other.
That's it, man. That's what we do. So tell me about King Size Solutions.
Well, we offer several different programs and products, but the one that I'd like to focus on today is trying to teach people about the overall scope of the identity theft problem.
Yeah.
It's a global epidemic and
epidemic. I like how it's an epidemic now.
Mm-hmm. It's really interesting. I have studied it for about 8 years. And have a big, thick resource book that is an overall deep analysis of what the problem is. And it's really interesting to me to be able to just go deeper into what we see on the news.
Yeah.
Because there's another breach or there's another hack, and you don't really understand from the news's perspective of why these things are happening.
Right.
So that's what I have specialized in the last 8 years, is to really try to figure that out, because I work for a company that helps people with that problem.
Yeah.
So when it comes to that, it's fascinating how I'll do a hour-long seminar and so many people have great feedback at the end because they had no clue of 90% of the stuff that I was teaching.
Well, I mean, I see it. Okay, so you have a breach, and so somebody may have my information. But what does that mean to me other than maybe somebody's got my name and birth date? But it goes deeper than that, doesn't it?
Exactly. I mean, in order to put together a full profile, that entire person wants to be somebody else.
Yeah.
So that might not be necessarily you that they want to be. They're just looking to be anybody.
Right.
Especially when it comes to the immigration situation that we have in the States and anywhere else in the world, because they want to be able to live, immigrants want to be able to live in a country legally and not be deported. So they'll just find somebody that they can be. And that's why when I teach a class, sometimes I'll ask, who does the IRS think the real person is? The first one to get their tax return in.
Which makes sense, though, you know.
Because if somebody's filed your taxes already and you didn't do it on.
Yeah.
Even I'm not talking on time. I'm just,
you just
talking
mean first.
Right, first.
Yeah.
So if somebody hits the IRS with.
Like literally a day before you.
Yeah. Like if somebody files on the 29th of January and the IRS processes it and yours comes in on the 2nd of February, well, they think that you've already filed your taxes.
Yeah. So
it's complicated.
Yeah, but it's happening every day.
It is.
And you're right, people don't always understand. Like, I know I didn't really understand the depth of it. Like, it's more than just, oh, somebody's going to open up a credit card in your name, or, you know, wants to whatever, try to get some money from an ATM or something like that.
Credit fraud is typically what we hear mostly. on the news. Somebody's card got hacked or somebody's bank account got hacked. But really what it is identity theft problem is much deeper than that, because you have character criminal identity theft. Somebody's committing crimes in your name, or driver's license ID theft.
Yeah.
Because somebody has an ID and they're producing your information.
Or somebody needs a birth certificate.
Exactly. And then there's medical record ID theft. So how are you going to fix that?
Yeah.
And then there's Social Security ID theft. So say, for example, you had a problem and you know that you have a problem. But the challenge of being a victim is you don't have the permission to get into the databases to be able to fix the problem that you know that you have.
Yeah.
Because if you walk into Janet Holly Tax Collector and you want to fix some erroneous information that you know is in your driver's license information,
right,
or that system, then they typically are not going to let you just go through their files and see if all your information is correct.
Yeah. Not to mention, if your identity's been stolen, they don't even know if you're the right person. I mean, you know, for all they know, you could be the person trying to hack the information.
So it's real fascinating to pull back the layers of the onion,
yeah,
and find out more on the problem and try to understand what's driving it.
Can you talk about the story you were telling us earlier about the girl that had her?
Yeah, there's one of my clients had their identity was stolen in another state. And what a lot of people don't realize is that if an individual has a full profile stolen, which is name, address, birthday,
Social Security, yeah, last 20 places you've lived,
right,
firstborn. And
it's obviously what it talks about. It's a full profile. What thieves will do is they will post those in different locations. So when people are coming across the border illegally, they're looking for essentially sort of like a safe house where,
yeah,
they can assume somebody else's identity, and they will put those on a particular place where they know where to go.
Yeah.
So then it's actually common that a person will be a victim many, 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 many times, because what happens is different people are going to that safe house and seeing that same piece of information,
right,
and it's there for anybody to assume. So then what happens next is that particular person that came here and assumed somebody else's identity,
right,
illegally, of course, then gets involved with some crime. So then they produce information, which is another person. So then you have arrest warrants and that
things
type of
out
thing
that aren't even your own,
right, and it's
issue.
Like, so some of my clients have arrest warrants in other states, and they've never even been to that state.
So what? How do you fix it?
Well, you have there's two different major types of programs on the market today, and it's very, very important that if somebody is considering having an identity theft product, no matter what company it's from,
right,
make sure that you have your attorneys review it and verify that it is a full-blown restoration plan. There is a drastic difference between a restoration plan and a resolution plan.
Right.
And there are two totally different programs. So a restoration plan is a full comprehensive plan that will fix all of those problems for you.
Right.
So typically you're going to have to sign a limited power of attorney, giving that company the permission to do that.
Sure.
And then be able to provide the police report and any documents that go along with it, of course. But when it comes to that, make sure that you have a restoration plan.
Because then that'll backtrack it all the way to like day one, yeah?
Because a restoration plan fixes it for you. A resolution plan is basically you're paying for a membership in whatever company that,
right,
you have one with, and then they're going to monitor you. And then when you come up with a situation where you have a problem, then that's kind of sort of where the program ends. And then they give you a big pile of stuff to do yourself. And you are the one that has to go and,
right,
read all of that stuff and do all of the legwork.
Which takes so much time out of your day.
So I'm wondering, why are those even legal?
Yeah.
So, but that's not my call on what's legal or not in this country. So whenever it comes to, if you are looking at purchasing a plan or you already have a plan, make sure that you know exactly what type of plan it is. Go through the contract with a fine tooth comb. So if a crisis ever comes up in your life, then you know exactly what you have enrolled
for. And that you're covered.
Right.
It's so wild to me how easy it is. And how
like especially earlier, man, this time of year, man.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, where everybody's got online purchases going on like crazy. You got credit cards coming out like crazy. I mean, let's just face it. The holidays are a lot busier that way than the other 11 months out of the year.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fascinating topic to study. And I enjoy going to organizations like churches and civic groups and Rotaries and Kiwanis and those and the Sertomas that like to have guest speakers come in, because it's a topic that a lot of people have heard about, but they really don't know exactly
how to do it or what it is.
What it is or why they should be paying attention to.
So you do that now, though, right?
I do.
So if somebody wanted to, how do they get a hold of Tom to come tell me about my identity?
They can. The easiest way is to either go through my website.
Yeah.
It's www.tomkoenig.biz. TomKoenig.biz because I run a business. So they can look through there, and then there's a contact me button, and you can just contact me and I'll come and arrange a chance to visit with you.
Yeah. And you don't charge for those, right?
No, sir. Those programs are free.
Is there much people can do to help themselves, you know, prevent that kind of stuff happening to them?
Yeah, like what's some everyday stuff that you need to watch?
You can, but there's a false sense of security with that.
Yeah.
Because it's common in my business that people say, well, I'm not a potential victim of the identity theft problem because I don't buy anything online. I pay cash for everything. And
that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I've watched people get their number swiped from the gas station because somebody's got one of those little things in there, you know. Next thing you know, you got $800 out of your account. If you're lucky to have $800 in your account.
Yeah, the person that comes right after you just puts however they do it, and now they have your credit card.
Exactly.
So really, a lot of people ask me that question. Well, what can I do to protect myself?
Call Tom.
Actually, I'm going to throw in a quick plug for the Dave Ramsey course.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the Dave Ramsey Financial Peace University. I took that last winter, almost a year ago. And he talks about making sure that you get your wills done and making sure that you get an identity theft restoration plan in place.
Right.
I was like, wow, that's awesome.
Dave supports what I do. He's my spokesperson.
Yeah, he's awesome. So when it comes to that, he understands that you can't prevent it.
Yeah.
So if anybody tells you that they can absolutely prevent identity theft, you can ask them what else they're lying about that day.
Yeah.
Because you can't prevent it. So the best way is to just be ready for something like that if it ever happens. So there are some shields that you can buy. If you see those little, they're shields that go around your credit cards.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a card holder, but it has like a silver lining in it.
Right.
So right. I use those. Those are good. And they're actually really
good. Because people can just, and I know this is huge in Europe. And when I've been over in London and stuff with my dad, you know, a lot of times when you're doing the transit systems, you just keep what they call it, an Oyster card.
Tell us again how awesome your life is.
It's called an Oyster card. And to get on the tube or subway or buses, you just slide that up against a magnet. And same technology, people would walk right by you and just scan your pocket, and next thing you know, they've got all your information.
They have those in Chicago.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, the larger cities are sort of up to speed with all that stuff.
Yep. So
same concept, though.
And now a lot of us aren't used to this down here on the Great Gulf Coast, but up in Atlanta, they're paying with their phone.
Yeah.
They just hold their phone up to the scanner.
Yeah.
Beep, beep. So it's going to be... I'm really curious to see what the next 5 or 10 years is going to hold when it comes to the technology of paying for stuff.
Mm. Well, and you know, we did the I-10 Wired Summit, and I had all the IT guys and tech dudes and all that. And we were talking about the chips in the card, and they were like, in like 2 hours, the IT community totally was able to
hack them.
Yeah. To hack them and do whatever. And I was like, well, great. Now everybody over here's, I mean, around the world, they've already converted, but now everybody here is starting to convert to them. But they're already hackable, and they're already, you know, in a position where they can get everything they need from you.
Did they happen to hold the card up to the microphone here in the studio?
No.
Oh, you talk about interesting.
It makes feedback and all that good stuff?
I was in a seminar in Gulfport, Mississippi one day, and the gentleman was doing an identity theft seminar, and he holds the card up to the speaker.
Yeah.
Up to the microphone, and you could hear it.
I believe it.
He was talking to the satellite.
That's insane.
Wow.
I was like, wow, that's wild. I didn't know that the card actually talks.
Yeah.
Digital.
Yeah, it transmits.
Wow.
Totally transmits.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. So, again, here's these guys walking by with a little scanner. Don't even have to pull your wallet out of your pocket. Just, and they got it.
And even in this profession, I find myself struggling sometimes to keep up because the technology changes so fast.
Yeah.
You have to keep going back to training and finding out what's happening next.
Yeah. So?
So, very interesting.
All right. Well, let's just say somebody wants to get some more information. Tell them where to go again.
My website, my website is www.tomkoenig.biz. TOMKOENIG.BIZ. And I mentioned that I have King Size Solutions. So you can also contact me at King Size. That's with a D. KingSizedSolutions.biz.
Cool. All right, Andrew. So are you scared now? Like, are you going to leave here in fear?
I'm sitting here wondering, you know, my credit card company, you know, it's like they make you get the ones with the chips in it.
Yeah.
I'm wondering what's the...
When they tell you that the security they're offering you is even better and more approved.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. You know, I'll tell you what, it's funny because I get done talking about some of these subjects sometimes and, you know, the last thing you want is people walking away just totally freaked out and, you know, can't get anywhere and I'm not safe anywhere and all that. But the bottom line is sometimes you just really feel that way after talking about it, you know, you're a man who likes to keep people safe. Yeah. Right.
So, I do my best.
Yeah. So tell everybody, let's talk about Atlas Financial Solutions.
All right. It's Atlas Financial Strategies.
Sorry.
No problem. It's my firm that allows me to help people with retirement planning, depending on who we're talking about, I guess. Retirement planning, college savings plans, investments, business solutions for business owners, estate planning, and so on. And it's kind of the same deal, you know, Tom's been talking about. We live in a similar world where, you know, it's all about just protecting yourself. So just making sure that you're doing the things that you need to do to make sure that, you know, when those times do happen, that, you know, you have everything taken care of.
Yeah. So what type of work do you do for businesses that does that for them?
Well, for businesses, in my view, I think it's kind of a three-tiered, you know, you have the business owner, you have their own personal retirement plan and such.
Sure.
Which is, you know, somewhat separate from the business. Then, of course, you have the business plan, business continuation, depending on what kind of business it is or how it's set up. If it's a partnership, you know, the key person buy sell, you know, making sure that all that's taken care of. And again, in the event of, you know, the unplanned happening. And then you have the employees.
Yeah.
You know, you have the employees that you want to make sure you're taking care of to help employee retention and employee satisfaction. And because happy employee is a productive employee. But, you know, everything from the various insurances to 401k plans or retirement plans, you know, anything from Aflac, I provide Aflac. Business owners tend to love that. Any of the voluntary payroll deduction stuff, again, 401ks, simple IRAs, SEP IRAs, things of that nature.
Is that the most typical thing you deal with business owners? Or
it depends very much on the business owner and what kind of business it is. Business owners, from what I find, they're a lot of times very focused on the business.
Sure.
And that's their baby, and they're pouring their blood, sweat, and tears into it. So
the last thing they're thinking of is their financial strategy other than making it till tomorrow.
Exactly. And that's kind of the, you know, it's hard for them to take time out because in their time, they're like, well, I'm losing time out of running my business to do something that, you know, but it's a necessary evil, something you got to do. So, yeah, I mean, the most typical, I have a business owner client that, you know, contacted me a while back and, you know, he's growing by leaps and bounds and, you know, is trying to recruit, some talent, some upper echelon guys to help him run things and help him expand the way he needs to expand. And, you know, to, attract that kind of talent, you know, he keeps getting, he said he even had lost guys because he didn't have a retirement plan set up.
Yeah.
You know, so, which of course is important to most people. So he, you know, he contacted me to set that up for him, and it's great because it doesn't cost the business anything. You know, the plan that we did doesn't cost the business anything besides whatever it is that they match. And,
right.
You know, he's able to attract and keep those,
sure,
you know, those kind of upper end guys that he was trying to get. So that helps him, you know, grow the way he needs to grow. But yeah, like I said, most of the time with business owners, as far as their personal retirement plan and such, it does take a little arm twisting and convincing sometimes because they, you know, again, to take their mindset off of the business for just a moment.
Yep. You know, well, I'm going to go back to Tom's Dave Ramsey thing is, man, pay yourself first.
That's exactly
right. You know,
it.
And that's as a business owner, sometimes that is the hardest thing to understand because you figure, well, I got to keep the business running, so I'm going to take what's left. As opposed to, but really pay yourself first and then operate your business accordingly.
Well, most business owners, they're, you know, again, the business is their baby, so they're pouring their blood, sweat, tears, and money in it. And most of the time, that is the plan with most, or at least in my experience with a lot of business owners, is, you know, their plan is to build this business, you know, again, reinvest everything into the business, you know, grow it. And eventually sell it, and that's the, or pass it along to someone. And I mean, I've heard all kinds of things that, you know, kind of once I hear the plan, I'm like, well,
let's take a look at that, right?
I hope you got a plan B.
Yeah.
You know, I have a, he's not a client, but he's, somebody I know.
John Doe number one.
He and I got to talking and just kind of in passing, and I didn't even know he owned a business. So, I got to talk about that. And I know I grew up with his children. And, I said, you know, so, you know, are you just going to pass it along to the kids or what, you know, are you going to sell it or, cause I just can't help it since that's what I do for a living. I always ask these prime questions.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm sure it's like second nature, isn't it?
I know. I can't help
Tom's
it.
Over here shaking his head. Like, I do
just,
it too.
You just can't help it. But, he said, well, you know, I'm just gonna, and I know his son. And he said, well, I'm just gonna pass it along to my son and have him run it and continue to collect my salary.
Uh-huh.
And I hope he didn't see the look that I hope my face didn't say what my brain was thinking.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, oh my gosh, I hope you have some money saved because that's just not the plan I would have put in place. But, anyway, so that's, I think and I think most business owners that have reached that, you know, have been there, done that as far as, you know, they've spent their lifetime building this business and plan to sell it. And that's their retirement plan.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of them can attest to the fact that it doesn't always work out that way.
Sure.
You know, I mean, there's, for a number of different reasons, depending on what kind of business it is or where the economy is, maybe there's not a buyer.
Yeah.
Maybe the person, maybe you think it's worth a lot more than it is because it's your baby.
Yeah.
You know,
it's so hard to separate that emotion from it sometimes.
It is. And then, you know, what do you do? If you reach that point and you can't sell it for whatever reason, I know a business owner, out in Molino that is the case. Now, luckily they've saved, but I mean, that has been their plan is to sell the business and they can't find a buyer. So, you know, if they were relying solely on that, you know, it's like, well,
might be in trouble.
Now what do we do?
Yeah.
You know?
So walk me through, like, I guess a typical taking on a client or looking at one of their things like that. I mean, are you picking through the business plan? Are you hanging out with them for a little while to see how the business runs? I mean, how's it go?
So as far as business owners go, well, the first step is getting them to sit down with me.
Yeah.
Which, you know, sometimes they approach me or sometimes I approach them. But, you know, that first meeting is just always information gathering. You'll have questions for me. I'll have some for you. And just kind of see where everything's at and what the plan is, you know. And there very rarely does it happen, but, you know, there might not be. You might be,
you might be ready to go.
Right. Yeah. You know, and like I said, typically there are things that, because it's all about efficiency. So, I mean, there are things that can be tweaked to make, you know, the plan more efficient. Or maybe there's, from what I find it, so nobody teaches us this stuff anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know how we graduate high school without having some sort of personal finance class or something.
Yeah. I think they called it economics.
Well.
Yeah, but we all know how far that got us.
A football coach that taught it, probably.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, so, I mean, there's people have questions, or they have sometimes opinions on how things work that just simply aren't true.
Yeah.
But again, you know, so half my job is just educating people too.
Yeah. Well, as I was saying, your stuff changes
all the time,
monthly, daily, almost sometimes for some of the products you guys do.
And we live in the information age, so Google can be your worst enemy a lot of times.
Yeah.
You know, because people think they Google something and they know how it works.
Well, it's on the internet. It must be true.
That's right. That's right. Like, I'm a French model.
Yeah.
But you know, it's one of those things that they. I always say, just because I know how to change the oil on my car doesn't mean I know how to,
doesn't mean I'm going to go change the oil on my car.
Well, but doesn't mean I know how to fix the transmission
if
something goes wrong with it, you know? So, I mean, just so you know, just because, you know something about finances doesn't mean that, you know? So my thing is everybody, I'm just a big advocate that I think everybody should use some sort of financial professional. A lot of people lean on their CPAs, which is great. But I mean,
but even that's still, you know, highly targeted to one aspect of the business,
And that's what I was going to say. It's not a, you know, if you're a business owner, you need to work with a CPA, an attorney, and a financial professional.
Yep.
If, you know,
preferably they all get along and you can get all of them in the same room at the same time.
You know, yeah, exactly.
Save everybody time and money.
Exactly. But I mean, that's just things, because again, you're trying to run a business. So do you really want to have to worry about all that? And then even if you do you know how everything works? Like, even with taxes. If you're doing your own taxes and not using a CPA, are you leaving money on the table? Are you paying more taxes than you should? You know? So I know we're getting a little off subject, but
that's all right.
You know, so that's,
I mean, these are all things that come into play, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's just the point. So, you know, find you a professional. Like, if my car breaks down, I'm taking it to a mechanic.
Yeah.
Cause that's what those people are trying
to do. That's what they do.
You know what I mean? Where he can open up the hood and be like, oh yeah, that's what's wrong with it. And I've been tinkering with it for 2 hours and I don't know what's,
you know,
so,
So what do you think is the biggest mistake you see individuals and, you know, business people do in that sense? Do you think maybe it's just not seeking financial advice from a financial advisor? Or?
I think from a business owner standpoint, and a lot of times they're different between, you know, non-business owning individuals and business owners. Business owners, it was kind of what I was hitting on earlier, is, you know, maybe not. First of all, across the board, business owner or just, you know, non-business owner, is all of my clients in their 50s, 60s, 70s say, I wish I could go back and start sooner or start working with somebody like you from the beginning, or, you know, whatever the case is. But it's all, I wish I would have started sooner and done more. And, you know, I mean, does anybody ever retire with too much money?
Yeah, exactly.
There's not such a thing. You know? So,
unless your last name is Zuckerberg.
Exactly. Or Gates.
Right. Yeah.
And in that case, you should have retired long ago because you had plenty of money.
Well, I'm sure even to them, they're like, I don't have too much money. I have the exact right amount of money.
Yeah.
You know? But, I mean, so I think for business owners, it is not they're not worrying about themselves as much as they are the business, and I think they should be. And preparing for the long term for themselves as well as the business. Individuals, it is, and I think again across the board, not working with a financial professional at all or not soon enough. You know, as far as an individual standpoint, I couldn't tell you how many people I have that a couple I met with that are right around 50. I mean, between the two of them have less than a year's salary, you know, put away, and they want to retire. And
I saw a picture this morning. A dude had a handful of change. He said, "Man, I've made enough money to retire if I live till Thursday." You know,
right?
Which I mean, so true for so many people. You know, so
we're in a different place. I think, you know, we're a product of our raising and our environment. So I mean, you know, if you did what your parents did, you know, what your parents did maybe isn't the right thing for you to do.
Yeah. You're
in a different time.
Sure.
You know, so, you know, I think, you know, many years ago, our grandparents and stuff, you know, you started working. First of all, you didn't go to college, more than likely, and you started working right out of high school.
Yep.
And you worked till
if you even finished high school.
Exactly. And you worked till you were 65. You got a pension. Life expectancy was 75.
Yep. You invested a little bit somewhere. Or,
that's what I was going to say. If you had any outside savings, you were living large.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that was what it was. But now we're starting work later.
Yeah.
Because we're going to school.
Yeah. Wanting to retire earlier.
And we're going to be living longer.
Yeah.
You know, and we don't have anybody helping us with that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're very lucky if you have a pension nowadays. So, you know, I think people are looking back to, well, my parents didn't save, or my grandparents or whoever didn't save that much in their 401k.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they're not in the same situation that you are.
Yeah. Well, you know, and a lot of times, I know, like with my grandparents, from what I understand is the companies they were working for also helped them develop that a lot more than I think we see these days.
I think you're right. And I think, you know, a lot of the times, my clients, you know, most people have 401ks nowadays, but generally speaking, the people that are administrating the 401k aren't a whole lot of help as far as helping them.
Well, and it's all this general stuff. And, you know, if you understand it, great. If you don't, you're kind of just left of the wolves.
It is. And it's kind of a very wham, bam, thank you, ma'am kind of a deal. They're just like, do you
want to? Yeah, you can't roll in and be like, look, I want 5 years of aggressive growing. And then I want to just chill out and get the minimum and make sure I'm safe for the 20 years after that.
Right. And I mean, it's just, so anyways, I end up, you know, helping my clients with their 401ks as well, because whoever it is that really should be helping them with it isn't. And people just don't know. People don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
You know
what to do, where to go. And
they just know to save, which is good, because I mean, you know,
or they get the general pamphlet, which I love. You want slow and safe, you want medium, or you want highly aggressive.
Right.
Maybe you'll get some money, maybe it'll all go to crap.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And people get so scared about the aggressive stuff. And I'm like, well, you know, that's,
you get this list of companies that's in your mix. And, you know, as conscious as some people are today, it's like you make some of these choices and then, a lot of people want to invest in what they believe in company-wise, too. So, you know, you could have five companies in there and you're really not cool with what they do or who they are, kind of thing.
That's right.
But here you are getting money and investing. So
that's right.
Let's go back to benefits, because I know both of you guys do employee benefits, right? I mean, so you can typically, and I know Tom, you add some stuff with what you do, right?
Yes, sir. We have an employee benefit, too. And it essentially protects the business owners' employees.
Yeah.
I like to phrase the question, who are the top five that you cannot do without?
Right.
So if we have a business of, say, 45 or 50 folks, there's typically about five that the president...
that if they don't show up, that means you're showing up.
The CEO really can't do without those five.
Yeah.
So in our line of work, what we do is we seek to visit with the business owners to explain what we do and have that discussion. Who are the top five or six that you really would be hindered at accomplishing your mission?
Right.
Should those few folks have an identity theft crisis? So the Federal Trade Commission, a lot of people don't realize this, and in fact, I never knew this before I joined the profession that I'm in. The Federal Trade Commission is the agency that tracks all of the identity theft problems.
Right. I'm sure they're real accurate with that.
That's right.
Because they got nothing else to do on their plate, right?
Right. So they're the ones that take the complaints and try to be a resource for the public to return to try to find some answers about how they can fix all of that. So then, even if you go to the FTC.gov and pick through the identity theft information that they have there.
It's all Greek to me, man.
My question is, okay, so how many people are not reporting it to the FTC?
Right.
Because they don't know that the Federal Trade Commission tracks all of that and they're supposed to report.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known that had you not said something today.
Right. So most people don't even know. So if you go to FTC.gov and surf through their data,
yeah,
my speculation is the numbers aren't even accurate.
Yeah.
Because
people Think about it. Who's the first person you're going to call when you find out your identity stolen? Honestly.
The bank?
Or the police. Right? Yeah. I mean, seriously, those are or your credit card company.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so I need to go back to the Escambia County Sheriff's Office and also the Pensacola Police because I need to get some more updated information because this fact that I'm going to tell you is about 4 years old. But I went
Which means
by
it's not real anymore.
I went by there 4 years ago, and I asked the front desk people. I said, how many people do you have coming to the sheriff's office here because they have an identity theft problem? And the person at the desk kind of thinks about it for a second and then asks the question to the person behind them, and then they ask another question.
Yeah.
So then she comes back to the window, and she goes, about five. And I was like, okay, so like five a week, five a month?
Yeah, yeah. She's like, no, we've had about five total.
Five, like, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Like, maybe five total. And then, so I threw the question out there, five in how long?
Yeah.
It was about five a day.
Wow.
I was like, five a day.
Really? See, I told you, I mean, that's I would think that that's what people would do. They'd call their bank, they'd call the cops, and they'd be to file a report. Then you call your credit card company or anyone else.
I mean, that's in one area.
Just in Escambia County.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's insane.
So I went to the Pensacola Police Department and asked the same question. And I was sent back to the investigators. And then I got to talk to a nice gentleman. And he said, well, actually, I can't really answer that question. Because we don't really have the stats for that.
Yeah.
Because there's personal ID theft and then there's business ID theft where the business is a victim of that. So when it comes to that, then it's not like one sheet
sure.
where you can just look at the numbers and
right.
it's and then there's other crimes and then they kind of touch on identity theft a little bit, but it's not an actual documented case. So it's complicated when you ask that question.
Yeah.
So, but going back to your question about employee benefits, the smart business owners that I deal with are looking at ways where they can find ways to protect their key staff players.
Yeah.
If not their entire crowd. Because when it comes to what we do, it's very, very cost effective to be able to have the business owner say, should I give this person a quarter raise or should I spend 10 cents to protect them and protect my business?
Right.
So it's more, it's smarter and it's more cost effective
sure.
just to, rather than giving them a raise, to give them something that delivers more in value than the quarter that you would be paying.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when it
maybe
comes,
they get the 15 cents in raise and then the 10 cents in the add on.
Exactly.
Cause so, let's face it. I mean, let's be honest. Most employees and especially some of those working at the lower wages, a quarter means a difference between a tank of gas and the next week's groceries,
right.
then 10 cents worth of identity protection is going to be. So you really have to sort of share that value.
Yep. And I get that kickback too. I get that kickback in my business a lot. Well, we don't really want to let you talk to the employees because no one will enroll for that because they're paycheck to paycheck people. Anyway.
Right.
So my question is, okay, so
what happens when you don't even get that paycheck because your identity's been stolen?
Right.
That's all that going.
How do they know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, exactly.
If you have a financial crisis and you're in such a paycheck mode anyway,
yep.
it's like you think you have problems now.
Yeah.
You're really going to have problems then. I got sent on a referral one time to this absolute, I promise it's a true story. I got sent to Atmore one day on a referral. So one of my friends sent me up to this gentleman that he met in Atmore. I had a chance to visit with him, and he said, we've been locked out of our accounts. The IRS has locked down our accounts.
Wow.
So
you had money, but you couldn't even get to it.
I was like, are you serious? And he goes, yep, they've locked everything. We can't get any money at all. They've locked down all of our accounts because he had a full-blown identity theft crisis.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, you know what? I have great news, and I have terrible news. The great news is we can help you. The terrible news is you have to pay for our service. I was like, What do you do in a case like that?
Yeah.
That's why I go back to Dave Ramsey. He says, you know what? Have an identity get it set restoration up first. Plan in place.
Yeah.
TomKoenig.biz has one. So when it comes to going back to the employees, right?
Yeah.
The business owner knows that those key staff players are required to be at work for the business to run smoothly and effectively.
Right.
So what my proposal is to have the business owner kind of consider that. Just take a look at the numbers. We'll sit down and have a chance to, I would love to chat with you.
Yeah.
And have a chance to crunch the numbers, look at your budget, and see if we can protect those folks in what we call a fringe benefit for the key staff players.
Yeah.
And it doesn't cost that much. And then for the other folks, if you would like to consider letting us show it to the entire crowd, and it's a voluntary benefit, and like Andrew was saying, it doesn't cost a business owner anything. Mm-hmm. That's their choice.
Yeah.
And if they're paycheck to paycheck and they don't purchase the plan, that's their call. At least my job has been done, because my business is teaching people what we do, and then it's an option for them to have. And who knows, out of the crowd of these people, you don't know what their life has and what they have encountered in life.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I was going to say. I mean, from the business owner standpoint, let's say you have 100 employees. Mm-hmm. And you say, well, on the whole, the majority of these people aren't going to want that for whatever reason.
They don't know that.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, well, let's say that 5 or 10 people sign up. Those 5 or 10 people are going to be very grateful that it was offered to them.
Yeah.
You know,
and they're going to talk to 5 or 10 more people each.
Right. But I mean, you know, just from the business owner standpoint, like it costs you nothing to let Tom come in there and talk to the employees. If there was 5 people that signed up, those people are going to be grateful to have it. And they're going to, you know, they were offered it through a voluntary payroll deduction basis, I'm sure. And I mean, that's just, you know, so, you know, for a business owner to say, oh, nobody's going to want that. Well,
they don't really know that. Right. So what a lot of this business owners too, that we deal with, want to make sure that it's documented in the employee's file.
Right.
That they were given the opportunity to buy it.
Yeah, because then if something comes up.
That way, months down the road, the employee can't come back and say, well, I never had a chance to buy that. Because then they said, well, in fact, you did, because back in January, we had this form that says we offered it to you, but you passed on it.
Yeah, well, and I could see people suing other people when, you know, depending if they find out how the information was attained and stuff, and finding employers at fault for not shredding their documents correctly or not doing the things that they need to do.
Yeah, it's a little amazing what people will sue for nowadays. People have sued their financial advisors or their parents' financial advisors for not
making me money.
Well, not talking to them, let's say, about like a long-term care plan.
Right.
So it runs into their, you know, their parents had to spend $100,000 a year on a nursing home that eats away from their inheritance.
Right.
And like, it was your responsibility to talk to them about that. You should have done, you know, that's just amazing what people will.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's, you know, so same deal. If it's not in the file or something that it was offered to them, and then their family, you know, that happens to them and they didn't partake in the plan.
Yeah. Well, so, but back to the benefit thing though, you're on the other side of it. You're on the sort of the retention or the recruiting side of it, you know? So business owners may not even realize that, like you were saying, you had a client, you've got these 5 or 10 things that you can add to a package or whatever. And now all of a sudden you're able to maybe obtain those 5 people that you know you need.
Oh no. And that's going back to that business owner that I was telling you about. I mean, that was his, you know, He hired on a couple guys and, you know, a couple of guys that he has been talking to. And I think kind of, cause we had talked about it for months. He brought it up to me probably 6 months before we actually did it. And I was like, yeah, just let me know. We'll set it up and we'll do it. And, you know, he just kind of put it off. And then finally, I think the last straw was, he had somebody that he was really trying to get say, well, no, because you don't have a retirement plan. And he was like, okay, well then that's, you know, that was the final straw. And so, you know, we had it set up, but, you know, yeah, I mean, and again, depending on what the business is, but most people want, of course, some sort of retirement plan expect some sort of retirement plan through their employer. But again, I mean, it just, you know, they feel taken care of. It's like some of the clients I meet with when I ask them if they have a 401k or something through work and they say no, they don't say, oh, no, but I'm not that worried about it. They're like, no, you know, they're not doing anything like right. that for me. You know, I wish they would. It's always, I wish they would.
Sure.
You know, so from a business owner standpoint, if you can do something like that, it doesn't cost the business any money.
It just makes sense. Wouldn't you? Yeah. Very cool. So, Andrew, we need to tell everybody where to go to find information for you.
Gotcha. AtlasFinancialStrategies.com is an easy way to do it. That's my website. Of course, you can... you know, has my phone number and everything on it right there.
Yeah, Tom's got to pull it up. You need the selfie stick out so we can see it.
I found that.
That's right. You can email me, call me. You can request a consultation on it. Free consultation, by the way. Again, it's atlasfinancialstrategies.com. Don't worry. There's not my big head posted on there too much.
But there is a picture of you and your spouse sitting on the beach in a lounge chair.
Yeah, chilling.
That's not us.
That's some stock photo.
That's right.
I was talking about whoever was listening.
Okay. Yeah.
So, what you got? One more thing going on too. You play golf, don't you?
Well, the good Lord only blessed me with a few talents, and golf was not one of them.
But riding around in the cart and chasing the
that's
ball
right.
was.
That's right. That's right.
That's right. You don't have to know how to play. You just got to have fun.
That's it. Yeah, I break too many clubs for that, but. No, I do a golf tournament to benefit the Pensacola Humane Society. This upcoming year, it will be on April 2nd at the Scenic Hills Country Club. And, you know, it turned out great last year. Last year was the first year we did it. The Humane Society actually has some dogs out there.
Oh, cool.
To adopt.
Are they chasing the golf balls?
Well, no, they keep them. You know, they kept them under a tent and everything. But we did it towards the end of May, so it was hot. So we're doing it at the beginning of April this year, so it's a little, hopefully not as hot. But, you know, the only golf tournament I know of that has, you know, they have the dogs there to adopt and stuff, which was really great. I think we actually got a few adopted, and we raised quite a bit of money for them. But, you know, of course, this is the time of year. You know, any business owners listening out there, we're looking for hole sponsors. You know, if you want to sponsor a hole and help a great cause and, you know, come out there and you know, play a little golf, I think it's a really fun time. You know, we have food, we have raffles, we have, you know, all the normal stuff you'd find at a golf tournament. But again, for benefiting the Pensacola Humane Society, you know.
So it's local too. That's what's really cool.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And Sarah Humley, who runs the Pensacola Humane Society, is always such a great help and, you know, helps us any way we can. And I think, again, having the dogs out there was a huge hit.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to go pet the dogs.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's it, man. You get one in front of you, especially. Bring the kids, because then you're definitely taking one home.
That's it. Well, and, you know, of course, we had beer at the tournament last year. So by the time people are done and they have had a few, you know,
they're ready to take home a new friend,
exactly,
huh?
Exactly. Those dogs are a little cuter.
Very cool. So if somebody wants to donate or sponsor, what did they just go through the website or call you? Or?
Yeah, they can get in contact with me. You know, of course, I'm not always at my office. Obviously, I'm here. So you can leave me a message anytime, and I'll get back to you, you know, as soon as I can, within 24 hours.
But
yeah, just to tell you a little bit about the whole sponsorship. We're asking $400 for the whole sponsorship, which I think is, generally speaking,
very reasonable.
Right. And that'll get you a four-person team to – it's going to be a scramble setup. So a four-person
That's good. So find three that are better than you.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, you got to have at least one that's good.
Yeah.
But, you know, that'll get you a four-person team to play in the tournament, which we're – you know, for the normal golfers, we're asking $260 for a team. So that's $65 a person. So that'll get you a four-person team, get you a sign at your designated hole, you know, get your business name on all the advertising and flyers and such. And then, you know, there's going to be a table at your tee box if you want to be there to hand things out or shake hands and kiss babies and, you know, do that stuff. So
kiss babies and pet puppies.
That's right. That's right.
So, Tom, you just showed me the paper that said fireworks. So tell me.
In
case you didn't know, Tom blows stuff up in his free time, which is really cool.
I could take him for that.
I have the pleasure of working for a company called Pyro Shows out of Tennessee. So when
is
I
this
was
a third company he's mentioned.
This is Tom's hobby. Okay. I think this is his stress relief, man.
When you're retired Air Force, he can do what you
yeah,
want.
I guess so.
Do what you love. So love when, what you do.
When's the next chance? Because I want to hit the buttons. I've told you this before. I want to hit the buttons and blow stuff up, man.
We do professional fireworks shows, so we typically do most of the shows on the Great Gulf Coast.
Yeah, you do the ones here for the. We're for the Wahoos, don't you?
We're not the only company in town, of course, but we do the Wahoos fireworks shows.
Yep. You did.
We did Pensacola Beach this past 4th of July.
What else so you
we,
did? We hang out.
We had a great big barge show for that one.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
You did hang out too, right?
Hang out festival.
Yeah.
We had 3 days worth of
fireworks in one show.
7 minutes.
Yeah. That's what I want to do, man. I'm telling you, I just want to. I want to hit the button and watch the whole barge go.
That show looked like a naval barrage.
I bet. So when's the next one you get to do?
So I believe I need to check with the boss, but I think that the Pensacola Beach show was just. Don't quote me on this, but it's probably we always typically do the Pensacola Beach fireworks shows. Hmm. On the New Year's Eve.
Yeah. Cool.
So when it comes to that, I haven't got a call yet, but that's typically what we do. I've shot that show with them for the past 2 years.
You call me. I'll come. I'll help you. And I'll carry gunpowder, man. I'll wire. I don't care. I'll risk it. I just want to hit the buttons that makes it all blow up.
If you were down at Pensacola Beach last year, it's typically rather kind of chilly at midnight
yeah.
on New Year's Eve.
Sure. Especially that wind's blowing down there.
I have seen 40 plus years of fireworks shows, and I've never seen a show where the shell actually goes into the cloud. Wow. It was one of the coolest shows yeah. that I've ever seen because we had a really, really low fog bank of about 400 feet that night. So we were shooting shells, and they were going up into the cloud and exploding.
Which looks That's really awesome. Cool.
So Absolutely. It was like totally psychedelic.
Yeah.
Great for photos.
Yeah. Looks really cool.
Because the whole area would glow.
Wow.
I was like, wow, I've never seen a fireworks show in a
So
club.
New Year's Eve could be your next adventure yeah, so in Wonderland?
I would invite folks out to come down to Pensacola Beach if you don't have any plans for yeah. New Year's Eve, because it's a great time.
Well, we might have to get you on with the fireworks guys here. We'll talk about it.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
By fireworks guys, he means him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just me, man, just me. So, well, cool, guys. But look, we're running out of time, but I want to thank both of y'all for coming on today and talking about what it is that you do. And one more time, Tom, let's give me your website.
I have two that I would encourage you to go to. The first main one is the videos that we have. It's www.tomkoenig.biz, TOMKOENIG.BIZ. And then for business owners, I would recommend that you go to kingsizedsolutions.biz, KINGSIZED solutions, that is with an S on the end, .biz. And the kingsizedsolutions.biz has the business plan overview of how we help small business owners. And we look forward to helping you.
And blowing stuff up.
And don't forget to come out to the Wahoos shows this coming season, because we will be there.
All right, Andrew, let's tell more time to get in touch with you and how they can maybe sponsor for the golf tournament.
Sure. You know, again, you can visit my website. It's atlasfinancialstrategies.com. And again, my phone number and email is on there. You know, feel free to contact me. We're trying to get all firm commitments from sponsors by the end of the year. We're yeah. not looking to, you know, collect any money until, you know, we're just hoping by the end of February. And again, it's all the proceeds are benefiting the Pensacola Humane Society. So, it's going to be a really great setup. And I think we're going to do some pretty cool things this year that I haven't seen at too many golf tournaments, but, it's going to be a good time. But yeah, again, it's atlasfinancialstrategies.com. You know, would love to have some local businesses, you know, sponsoring small
sure.
be out there and play some golf.
Yeah. Or even just give you a call and take a look at their plans, man.
That's
see
it.
If you can help them out in any way. Huh?
Absolutely.
Very cool. All right, guys. You can find us at PCola Radio X on Twitter or on Facebook at Pensacola Business Radio or on the web at Pensacola.BusinessRadioX.com. Gentlemen, I want to thank you both again for coming in today.
Thank you for
having us. This has been Pensacola Business Radio, where business is good and your work matters. Mm-hmm.